right, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Unapologetically Black Gaming Podcast, the only podcast investing every dollar that we get into finding a way to design the world's first non-slip bonnet. I'm your host, the infamous hood rat with the heart of gold himself, Cortez Washington, and I'm joined by a special guest. You might see this person hunting achievements on Achievement Hunter. You might see her doing her own thing. You might have seen her over the summer at your favorite HBCU. Doing the Five Gamers One Van. Please show some love to Kyla Cook, aka Kai, or if you know her on Twitter, defined by Kai.
Ooh, I love that. So many aliases. Hi, everyone. I'm Kai. And English is very hard.
It's all right. Thank you again. How you doing today?
I'm good. You know, it's a Monday. Black Heritage Month is in 2 days. You know, it's hard to feel bad.
Yes, it is. It's hard. Our month is coming up, and it is time for us to reclaim our seat at the throne.
Our time, our reparations.
Yes, just our reparations. Yes, because if Joe Biden wants that black vote in 2024, you better start sending out checks.
I mean, at this rate, when we see who he's running against, it's like, bro.
No dubs. So I always ask the guests this: what's your first game in memory? So, like, what was the first game you played that you were like, oh, this is going to be not necessarily like a career path, but like, this is going to be one of my main hobbies and things I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life?
So I actually have a different story when it comes to like gaming and whatnot. And I think it's just because of the fact that I grew up not only as a black woman, but as a like not only as black, but as a black woman. Mm-hmm. And it's that a lot of the gaming memories I have growing up is from watching like my older male cousins play video games. Like I was the person navigating because I didn't mind reading the text, whereas they were like, I just want to do the action and da-da-da-da-da. But yeah, it was actually through watching my older cousin play games like Sly Cooper, Pokemon, Gale of Darkness, and Colosseum. That was us like, you know, this is kind of cool, you know? I enjoyed reading back then, so this was almost like TV, but instead it was like interactive TV. So I was really into it then. And I think the first game I ever officially got myself was on the DS. I got Animal Crossing on the DS. Ooh. And that was my little cozy streaming gaming. But again, even then, still, it was, you know, gaming on the DS was not like, you know, you're not a gamer. I wasn't really called a gamer until literally when I started streaming. Because even then, a lot of the gaming I kind of did was through others. Like, I watched Achievement Hunter, I watched Jacksepticeye, I watched Dashy, I watched Berlizzi. So I'm a fairly new gamer in terms of playing myself, but I've been into video games for a very, very long time.
Yeah, that's dope. Sounds like you're a student of the craft. Yeah, nice.
Listen, I might not have played a lot of games, but I can tell you the entire plot of God of War, of Horizon Zero Dawn, of Destiny. Like, I could tell you the plot of many games, many a games.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I always love that. I'm glad that you read the text, because I had some family members too that'd be like, man, what's up with all this talking shit? Let's speed past. I'm like, you don't care about the story?
Like you're not even that. Listen, when my cousin, because I would look over his shoulder when we played Pokemon Diamond for the first time, when I tell you we had to start the entire game over because I wasn't there once and he played without me and he was like, I don't know where to go next. I'm like, sir, you didn't read? I'm pretty sure they tell you where to go. He's just like, I didn't read it. So he didn't know he had to go back to one of the lakes. So we had to start the entire game over. Get to the text. I'm like, you had to go to the lakes. This entire, you didn't know you had to go to the lakes because you didn't read the text. Oh my God. I bet you he reads the text now.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you he does. Cause yeah, that's, and I feel like that's how game guides actually made a lot of money. It was like, there's a certain niche of gamers who don't read shit, but let's make a book to have everything there so they can just go to it quick.
They can just pick the pictures. They can, listen, as long as it has an index, they could be like, I just need to get to my one part. I know I have so many friends even today that are grown-ass men. I asked if I could curse on this. I never asked if I can curse.
Oh, yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay, but
yeah.
Grown-ass men, I know, that would be like, I'm not into the lore, I'm just into the gameplay. I'm like,
what?
Nigga, how the fuck are you going to get to where you... How are you going to get to the gameplay if you don't know where to go? Like, it's got to be a balance, my guy. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you ain't asking them to like find every audio log, every text log in the game. But like,
no, I'm not asking you to know the side quest or the lore. But like, yeah. Bro, if I'm just thinking of terms of Forspoken. Like, if you didn't pay attention to Forspoken and you didn't know her nails were the thing that changed color, how the fuck would you know how to change your powers? You wouldn't, because you're not reading.
You're not reading. You're just playing. Being like, what the hell?
Just playing, and you getting played at that point. Because like, are you playing?
Yeah. Are you playing or getting played? That's mm-hmm. the real question in life.
Playing or getting played. You'll make that the title of this podcast.
Yes. what's your origin story? I really would love to hear like how you got into like not only content creation, but got on this pathway of working with like Rooster Teeth and Achievement Hunter and stuff like that.
Ooh, let me check my watch. Y'all got time?
No.
It's on everyone's path really is different, and I testify that mine is as well. So mm-hmm. I had no interest in doing gaming as a career ever until like the pandemic. Mm. Like I have a bachelor's in TV, video, and film production. And the only reason I even did that was because in high school, I did theater production. Like, I would be a part of my high school theater shows behind the scenes. So I was always into production, but gaming was always just a side thing. Like, I would watch people, because I've been watching people since, again, high school. Mm-hmm. But it never occurred to me I could do that myself. Listen, I'm also the person, I cannot say this enough. My grandmother has 8 grandkids. I think 9 now. Yeah. And but at the time, it was 8. My little brother went to every adult and was just like, rank the kids in terms of funniest. When I tell you I was second to last funniest out of my grandma's 8 grandkids, like I was told I was not funny. Damn. I was told I was not like, yo, it really be your own.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. And so I was for sure thought I would be behind the scenes, just, mm-hmm. you know, producing, editing, directing, whatever. That's really the only things they even tell you about at school. And that's honestly why the pandemic came with a lot of hell. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like it brought opportunities for us to explore ourselves in ways we wouldn't have if the world hadn't had such a crazy shift. Mm-hmm. And because of it, because no one was hiring in the industry, I decided to just start streaming on Twitch. I was like, I like video games. I want to start playing them again or start playing them, honestly. Mm-hmm. And at least this way, I can say I have a background in streaming. I have a background in Twitch. So if I get into marketing jobs, if I get into production jobs again, I can do that. And mm-hmm. that was honestly my way to realize like, oh my God, content creation is everything, including gaming. Mm-hmm. So through that, I started streaming myself. I started just talking about the fact that I'm streaming. And because, again, I was a big fan of Achima Hunter, I would do the kind of the fangirl thing and like hit up Fiona every so often because she was in Achima Hunter at the time. Mm-hmm. Other members just as a community member, but also as someone who just like understood the craft and wanted to give them their praise for it. Mm-hmm. And through that, I got close to Fiona. I got cool with the rest of them. And then eventually it just got to them saying like, hey, do you want to be on our streams, on our content? I'm like, what? Little me. And the rest was a wrap. We vibed well. I was able to finesse the time because I was still working a full-time job at a different company at the same time. So honestly, that was also the time that I was the least healthy, I would say, because I was not getting any sleep. I would spend my days working my full-time job. Mm. I would sleep during my lunch breaks because I didn't get sleep at night, because at night then I was working on streaming, working on graphics, working on editing, stuff like that. So, I mean, it was definitely a hustle for those first few months. But it was also because I was doing something I hated for the full-time job. So I was like, I got to make this work. Mm-hmm. And I find that when I talk to other creators that, you know, you really hustle when you're in a position you don't want to be in because you have a drive to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And then once you're kind of set, once you've made it to full-time, that's when you can focus on more self-care because you're like, okay, I'm here. You know, don't burn yourself out because then you'll fall out of love with the thing that you fell in love with immediately. Mm. So now I'm working on finding that balance again.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's an amazing journey and amazing insight on like how like it took the world to stop for you to be like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to transition and pivot to this.
Something
position.
I would have never even considered.
Yeah. It's like it's like I have a similar story with the podcast too. Mm-hmm. Like it took me until stopping and not go on go mm-hmm. mode to realize, like, damn, there's not really a lot of people talking about. I mean, there is a good chunk of Black people talking about video games, but like the representation isn't really like you don't really hear people's mm-hmm. stories.
And even if the representation is there, it's not your POV, it's not people mm-hmm. like you, so you're providing something new yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, so I feel you on that. And I'm excuse me. It's amazing to hear that you were able to balance both. I mean, not necessarily balance. You were burning the wick at both ends.
The wick was burnt and I was mean back then. But would I change it? Probably not. Would I recommend other people to do the same thing? No, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Find your own path that works for you for sure. But also make sure to look at yourself and be like, am I sleeping? Am I eating?
Yeah. Absolutely. And one emphasis I like that I heard is a huge thing that I've heard from a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. They had their job until they were able to transition off. Don't quit your job.
No.
And then start doing this because the money ain't going to come.
No. And also, even something else, I say this to a lot of people often, but people don't know how lucky they are when content creation is the side job and they have another job they love as the main hustle. Because people forget that content creation is a medium. I still have to figure out a story to tell. I still have to go out and live my life. So at this point, when I have to go out and live my life in order to create content, it's very hard. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier if I can live my life and then create content from that. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Like one of my friends is a nurse. So she has all these nursing stories. So when she comes back when she comes on the stream, she already got content. She already got things to talk about. I got to go find. Listen, I don't leave my house. I got to go out of my way to figure out what I'm going to talk to people about. Talking is hard. I don't like it. So truly, truly, as much as you want to get into the thick of it, you have no idea how much it is just having another source of information coming at you, whether it's from a job or from hobbies or other things, just only uplifts you in your archives of what you can bring to your content creation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man. So with like just thinking about like that process of like you getting into like Achievement Hunter and stuff, I know that like you fit in well there. And like I know you've had a lot of blowback. I mean, I don't want to go too deep into it, but I know that in the gaming industry, there is that time of like people just talking shit, you know, basically that's long story short, talking shit. How is like that being at Achievement Hunter like built up some dexterity or like. Honestly, like how were you able to build up that dexterity? That's what I'm asking. Like not you don't even have to go deep into like what particular people said, but like that dexterity to keep pushing forward and keep going, especially with an industry that's like not very welcoming to you, not only as a person of color, as a Black woman, but as a Black person, but also as a woman too. Like how were you able to build up that dexterity and keep going?
Yeah, it's so weird because as Black people, let alone as a Black woman, we are raised knowing that the world is against us.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been told that the world was against me. But I've been blessed that my Blackness wasn't something I had to truly experience. Like, I always experienced Black excellence, but in terms of the systematic oppression, my family put me in a very blessed space, you know, socioeconomically and regionally, that I didn't experience the poorness of experiencing my Blackness until I got to college.
Yeah.
And then even then, I always gave people the benefit of the doubt. So even then, it wasn't aggressive. If anything, it was a microaggression. And I truly, for me, microaggressions stem in just systematic oppression and whatnot. So even then, I still give benefit of the doubt. Think like, you're a good person. You just have been raised a certain way. That, you know, it's nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
But going on the internet where literally you are putting yourself out there for people that would never in a million years have ever crossed paths with you, have ever given you a second look. And now suddenly you're on a stage for them to just throw anything and everything at you.
Yeah.
Sucks. To put it lightly, it sucks. And there's... Everyone keeps saying it gets easier, it gets easier, it gets easier. And I remember in the beginning, I was just in the mindset of like, well, why? Why does it have to get easier? Why can't it just stop?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of coming to terms with the fact of I am Black. And sometimes that means that people will see me as just that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they won't see me as Kai. They won't see me as defined by Kai. They will see me as the Black woman in the space that they want to be in, or that they're jealous that they're not in, so on and so forth. There's a million of different reasons. But at the end of the day, some people just see me as that. And no matter what, they're going to do that. And it's up to me to decide, how do I continue knowing this information? Mm-hmm. How do I continue knowing that I would just be a woman to some people? I would just be the femme to someone. I would just be loud. I would just be new. Mm-hmm. How do I continue forward? And it's hard. It's hard. My love language is words of affirmation, and no one's affirming me. No one's affirming me, but I had to learn to affirm myself, and it wasn't easy. I don't want anyone to think like, oh, this was easy. Oh, it's been 2 years, Kai. You're from New York, because I'm from New York. You're from New York. You know, you stuck it out real good. And I did. But to ignore the sleepless, depressing nights would be ignoring part of the process that was very much a thing for me. And it still happens to this day. Most of the time, I can look at comments and be like, okay, you know, it just wipes right off. But then sometimes it can really catch you on a bad day. No, there's other parts of life that can just get you down. And then one comment can just be the icing on the cake. Yeah. So in terms of just wiping it off and just really kind of taking on the heat, it's the understanding of what I'm going through is not normal. Mm-hmm. What I'm going through, most people can't deal with. Like, I'm a Christian, so I fully believe that I would not be in this position if God didn't think I can take it on. Mm-hmm. I don't look at any situation that I'm in as something that I have to overcome per se, because it is something that was meant for me to take on and tackle on. It doesn't change the fact that, again, it still sucks.
Yeah.
But anything that's ever happened to me in the past, I've overcome. Mm-hmm. I've gotten over it. I saw the tomorrow, like in any song, the sun will come out. I saw the sun tomorrow. So it just makes it easier now that it's happened, that I know that, again, I can see tomorrow. So if I were to pull up Twitter right now and see something, I'm sure I could. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that I might feel emotional right now, which I have every right to be, but I know that my tomorrow will be fine.
Yes. Amazing. Yeah. It's something interesting to be when people tell you to like, oh, you get used to it. It's like kind of like if in the beginning, it sounds like conforming, you know, and like letting the shit just manifest and stay there. But one of the things that like I've always been an advocate of is like be the outlier, be like, nah, like call them out on that shit immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, be the person to make it uncomfortable, and then people stop saying shit around you. You know, it's like,
And I honestly have to give a lot of props to the Black people that worked at Rich Teeth before me, or the Black femmes that worked at Rich Teeth before me. They went through, I don't want to say way worse, but they did. They went through way worse things than I go through now, but because they went through it and normalized different parts of the Black culture, I can come in and even expand on that. Like, I remember the first time when I first started guesting, Fiona and I were talking about how, you know, there's a reason why she was scared to get locks on stream, because she knew that anytime she got braids, people were like, oh, what's up with Fiona's hair? My first stream ever when I was on with Achima Hunter, I made sure to wear my natural hair, because she normalized the Black presence on screen that I felt like I could take it the next step to wear my natural hair on screen. So it seems like the smallest of baby steps. And I still do get hate for those kinds of things, but it's because of the people before me that took it on for literally just existing that I can take it to the next steps and be like, well, what if I exist and like start talking about soca music? What if I exist and start talking about like New York African-American vernacular English? What if I exist and wear this outfit or whatever, whatever? Like, I can only do... The only reason I truly feel I can do that is because of the people that were there before me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so fucking dope. And it's like, that's... And that's a number... And that's another reason, too, to just keep pushing against the grain, and because you're setting a precedent for the people... Yeah. Like you said, setting precedent for the people coming behind you that are, like, coming up in that space and be like, look, they used to let this shit happen. It don't happen no more because I said something every time, you know. So like,
it's about normalizing what to us is already normal, but to others, they just, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and that doesn't stop the ignorance. That doesn't say that being ignorant is okay. It's just people don't know what they don't know, and if my existing is educational, then cool.
Yeah, that's dope. And like with your like that, like just building up that dexterity and that experience, I know that like not only that, but you're a great content creator. Like, first of all, you're a great content creator.
Oh my God. I do my best.
But like, I know that like, I'm not the only one to recognize that. Like Achievement Hunters recognize that too, by letting you lead a lot of the Black History Month or Black Heritage Month content this time around. What are some of the things that you got in store for that coming up within the next, this episode will drop in February, so give people a precursor.
Well, just a heads up, everyone, I'm talking in January, so you'd be like, Kai, wait, because I'm talking in January. But yo, me and BK have spearheaded a lot of events coming up this month, and it was really awesome because, you know, in any company, you want to work on diversity and inclusion, and currently, Rooster Teeth is going through some changes, some transitions. So it was just really cool to go up to a lot of different departments and say, hey, you know, Black Heritage Month is next month. I know that resources are slim or things are still confusing during these changes, but, you know, this is important. How much support can we get? And honestly, every single department that I've gone to, they have answered my questions. They have provided as many resources as they can. They have provided me with support in terms of ideas and activities. And it's just so freaking amazing because we are going into February with a slate of content. It's not something we're in the middle of February trying to figure it out. We are going into February having a plan, know what we're doing, knowing the content we're creating for both internal employees and external and the external community. And I'm just so proud of that. There's so many times when inclusive events are such a last minute effort for different companies. And I'm so proud of Rooster Teeth to say that that's not the case this time. Like the fact that y'all, listen, I know it's February, but I'm talking January. The fact that in 2 days, we will have our announcement about Black Heritage Month coming out on the 1st of February. So many companies don't have that. So many companies will tell you about something in the middle of it. Like, oh yeah, we didn't forget, it's happening now. I'm like, bro, it's already halfway over. And we're already creating content. We already have things scheduled, lined up. And I'm just super, super excited. Like, we have a whole bunch of we have some friends flying in from that used to work at Achievement Hunter and Rooster Teeth. You might see some of their faces and remember some of them. We're doing Forspoken gameplay for Achievement Hunter. I know STF has a whole bunch of Black excellence and culture skits that they have coming out. And it's just really cool to see the company come together for an initiative that I know most companies think of as an afterthought.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's so dope that, like, and I just know, like, just working and, like, talking to different departments. Like, you talk to the finance department, and they're like, yeah, we'll help you. Like, that's a huge fucking step. You know, finance is always trying to cut.
Listen, like, they always try to make a budget. Shit out. Listen, between finance, even design, we have some amazing designs coming out. And I keep saying coming out. Listen, again, it's January. A design team. We have socials. Like, I was actually able to get a whole bunch of external creators who don't even work at Rooster Teeth spotlights for this month. So it's not only just something that we're doing for internal, we're also trying to use our platform to uplift other Black creators that I look up to within the space. So I'm just super excited because we're using our platform to not only embrace Black culture, but also to embrace others who represent Black culture. And it's just, I'm so excited.
Nice, nice. It sounds like, you know, it's just like, piggyback, like, not necessarily like your effort, because I know it's a lot of effort, but it sounds like Rooster Teeth is also like coming up after doing that the creators program that they had, like Geechee and Blizz, and so, and shout out to them, shout out to Geechee and Blizz.
Shout out to Geechee and Blizz.
But so what do you have, anything like any like your own personal brand content coming up simultaneously during February, or you got anything else after that, or anything else coming up?
Yeah, so I've actually, a few months ago, launched my own YouTube. For those that know me, know most of my content is on Instagram. That's where I post a lot of my modeling pictures and lifestyle stuff. And then I stream on Twitch. But I'll be honest, a bitch is tired. A bitch is tired and streaming is hard. Streaming 4 days a week is hard. So I actually started looking into doing more YouTube content on the side. And it's just been super fun. When you do something for a long time, it starts to feel like a job instead of a hobby. It's something you have to do versus something that's fun to do. And YouTube has honestly made content creation for me personally fun again. I'm enjoying learning the site. I'm enjoying learning how the algorithm ticks. I'm enjoying trying different tags and different titles and different thumbnails and just seeing what works and what doesn't. And I've have a, and it's honestly, I'm one of the blessed ones again, because I do already have a strong community behind me that's following me over from Twitch to YouTube and so forth. So I'm not starting from the bottom, but it is really cool just trying to see something from nothing. Like, I remember when I first started creating content for YouTube, I was just like, we just got to create a vault of content. So if anyone looks it up, they're not looking for a single video. They can just pick whatever from a video and be like, okay, this one was going. How do I jump to the next one? So now that I have a mini vault of content, it's like, okay, now that that's, let's try to make purposeful content. Like, what's something I'm into? Something that maybe works for me, but doesn't work for the Achievement 100 brand. So it also allows me to show a different side of myself, different content that I like to play. Because it's very funny. When I play with Achievement 100, everyone knows me as like that small being of rage and passion. But I like a lot of cozy games too. You know, I don't have to yell and curse and be competitive all the time. I mean, I'm always competitive. But this honestly provides me like that kind of outlet to the other sides of gaming that I really love and enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your first game was the Animal Crossing. So like, why not circle back to that and be able to honestly go back to like that wholesomeness or that wholeness of yourself.
Exactly. Not just like exactly.
That one dimension of you. Like, there's all these other dimensions as well that make up Kai.
So, yeah, and we got to see that a little bit. I actually released my first series recently called from the game Breakout 13. It's similar to Until Dawn, but instead it's FMV. So it's a full motion video. It's like watching a movie, except you still have to pick the different directions you go. Like, do I yell at this person or do I leave him alone? So it's very much still choose your own story, but it's like watching a movie. And it was very fun. And you get to see me be very calm, but also very stressed because we're at a rehab for gamers. And I don't want to reveal too much about it. Go watch it. It's on my YouTube. But I was stressed. I was a little stressed.
Yeah. Nice. How do you feel about, that's a question before we transition back to games. Ooh, like, how do you feel about the resurgence of FMV games? Like, I feel like a lot of them are starting to come out. One was like nominated for a game award, I think. I don't know. It was like one of those, like, I felt like that game got nominated, like how random indie films, like great indie films get nominated for an Oscar. I was like, where the fuck did this come
from? Like, where did you come from? Who are you?
But
no, I'm really happy about
it. No, go ahead.
Nah, listen, I'm really into it because those that are deep in my community know that one of my favorite genres of content is interactive fiction. Like the choose your own adventure, choose your own story. One of my favorite games to play is Episode Choose Your Story. That is a mobile game that I've had on my phone since middle school, where literally it's just about me stepping into this character, reading stories where I'm like, my man cheated on me, cut off his dick. Like that's the kind of thing I'm into. Like, oh, you slept with my sister? Burn the house on fire. Like, I love that kind of thing. I'm very much so someone who's into reality TV, into drama, into telenovelas. So the fact that FMVs are coming back, and it's not only full of, first of all, the movies are fucking gorgeous. Like, you actually feel like you're watching a movie and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I gotta make the decision. Or oh shit, I gotta do quick time event. I enjoy it a lot, especially considering the one I did specifically was based around Chinese culture. So I got to showcase a little bit of that too. You know, they were speaking Chinese and I had English subtitles. So it was just really cool to see games that are from different regions and whatnot, and even different stories. And some of them are based on true stories, which I'm like, okay, hold on now. Yeah. It was fun when it was fake, but now that it's real, I'm like, okay. I just think it's a nice way to show gaming in ways that maybe other people, it makes it, honestly, I think it makes gaming more accessible. Because there's some people that understand film and TV, but they may not understand gaming. And this is a great way to bridge them into it.
Yeah. And it's engaging, too. Like, to make a decision that, like, has a ripple effect and can, like, end the story earlier than what
literally
it was anticipated to be.
Listen, the amount of times I fucked up, bro. Oh, my God. I'd be like, oh, I'm at a chain wall. I can't get through. Oh, I wish I had some clippers, but I don't. Gotta go back and change my choices.
Ugh. Yeah, and I think that's what, and that's honestly, it sounds like what the disconnect is a lot of times when like quick time events are in video games too. Is like, I've been so hands-on this entire time. Now, Like, for example, Halo 4. Yep. I was hands-on the whole time. Now that the boss fight is a fucking quick time event, get the fuck
like,
out
come
of
on
here.
Now. It's almost like you're taking away everything I've learned from this point.
Yeah.
And make it something different. Like, I felt that.
Yeah. So, I'm glad to see, like, they're like, all right, we're going to differentiate the two. You know, mm-hmm. make sure that they're, like, separate so we, like, build them up and go along and have the industry be as diverse as it is, not trying to make a mashup of everything, you know, because when you make up a mashup of everything, you have nothing. Like, who are you really trying to reach?
Listen, only one game did that well, and not everything can be It Takes Two. Yeah. You know, only one game has done that well. Yeah. And I'm cool with the one game being the one game. Not anything else got to do that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So speaking of games, what was... Since this is a new year, I want to ask you three games because I feel like you play a lot of games. So, what was your favorite?
Why would you say that? Me play games? That's crazy. I don't play that many games. Not even a little bit. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, what was your favorite game? What was your least favorite game? And what was a sleeper game?
When you say sleeper, you mean something that people slept on?
People slept on, for real.
See, again, I'm a late bloomer to gaming.
Okay.
So a lot of the game. Let me pull up my Steam. Hold on.
Yeah, I was about to say, they don't have to be games released in 2022. They're just games you played last year that you like, this was the best game I played last year. This was the worst game I played last year. And this is a sleeper that I think people should retry.
I have top three games in terms of games I played last year.
Okay.
So, I have four. Fuck, never mind. Four games that I was like, these are games are fire. And one of them is probably a sleeper, so I'll say that. Bugsnax was fire.
Okay.
That was something that I thought would just be a cozy game and ended up being like a telenovela. I was just like, Jesus Christ, I'm in the drama of these characters. This shit fire. Played Up was another game that was absolutely fire. It's so funny because I was given that code randomly. Like, the dev reached out to me. I'm like, Played Up. I don't know what that is, but I like Overcooked. Mm-hmm. Started playing it when it first came out. And now it's fucking huge. Everyone plays Played Up. And I'm like, haha, I was given the code. Played Up was fire. Slime Rancher, which actually just had the sequel come out last year too. So I played the original Slime Rancher and the second one. That really... you know what? I think that's what I'm going to say is the best game for me last year. But that's a complete subjective personal thing for me because I was very down and hard on myself last year in terms of doubting myself and my content and my worth as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of my streams last year were always with friends because I knew that when I was funny with friends, I didn't know I was funny by myself. Yeah. And Slime Rancher was the first game that I played all the way through on my stream in a long time as a solo player game. And it was a new game, so it wasn't something I already liked. So it was a new game that I had to play by myself. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. My community loved it. I loved it. And it kind of just showed me, like, I can do the damn thing. Like, I'm good by myself. I don't need to rely on others to create good content. Like, I'm enough.
Yeah.
So for that reason, subjectively, I think Slime Rancher was great. And Cult of the Lamb was fire. Cult of the Lamb was absolutely fucking fire. Okay, now worst game. I do play bad games. It's probably something that like someone made me play, whether it was for work. You know what? This is not a bad game, but I hate horror games. And I was forced to play it, but for work. Yo, fuck Duck Hunt. Worst game, fuck Duck Hunt. That shit had me scared on my life. That's a video I had to do for Achievement Hunter. It's on their Let's Play website on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it's literally me playing Duck Hunt in fucking VR. You're like, Kai, you want to go do this thing? It's just Duck Hunt. It's just this old ass game. I'm like, okay, sure. Next thing I know, this dog is trying to attack me and bite my ass. Like, bro, no consent. Stop it. So that's bottom barrel trash game. It's a good game, but like trash to me. I hated it. And then did Pico Park? No, I did not play Pico Park last year. That's 2020. Jesus Christ, my years are blurring.
Yeah.
A game that people slept on. I feel like a lot of the games I played, people didn't sleep on. Like, I would Cult of the Lamb, but that wasn't slept on. People loved that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to come back to you. Wait! You know what? Kirby and the Forgotten whatever. The new Kirby game. I feel like that one was slept on. Like, I think a lot of people enjoyed it when it first came out because that game was really fucking good. Honestly, that game was almost my game of the year when I was playing it. I didn't get to finish it because those challenges were a little too hard for my baby self. But But if I did, I swear to God, I probably would have said that game was Game of the Year. So I'm going to say Kirby. That shit was fire.
Nice. Yeah. I haven't played the Kirby. I need to play that shit.
Highly recommend. It's okay. Like, it gives that it's for kids. But then you see some of them challenges, like, ain't no kid able to do this shit. I'm a grown-ass adult, can barely do it. It's so good. The mechanics are so different and so fun.
Yeah. Dope. I love that list. A lot of variety in that list. Mm-hmm. And also, you listeners, did you notice no Call of Duties were in there? Because Call of Duty is the same game.
Call of Duty is the same game? Listen, if you want me, I can tell you what the nigga games are. The nigga games are Call of Duty, Halo. And, I mean, Halo gets a pass sometimes, but the new Halo Infinite, Call of Duty, Halo, if you play 2K anything, I don't give a fuck if it's NBA, I don't give a fuck if it's WWE, I don't give a fuck if it's FIFA, 2K, if 2K is in it, it's a nigga game. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm the only one. And then GTA 5, those are the three.
Yes. Oh, man, the role. So I got to ask, so have you been on the role-playing servers?
I want to, but I really only want to get into Venus City. I just don't have the time. Okay. I don't have time to commit to a role play right now.
If you can, and I'm gonna say this on air too, mm-hmm. or on recording, if you can get Mira to come on here to talk about Venus City, please, I would love to have the deep discussion, because I want to know where the idea come from, how they get these people. Mm-hmm. I didn't know all these black people own video games. You know, yep. I know black people own video games, but I didn't know all these real niggas owned consoles.
Listen, it's so crazy, because it'll be people that I knew of in passing in Venice City. And I'm just like, damn, all y'all niggas here?
Yeah.
Like, all y'all here? Like, none of y'all? All y'all own GTA 5? I thought we were variety gamers here. Like, all of us own GTA 5? That's kind of crazy. Yeah. But no, from conversations I've had with Mira, and I'm sure she could speak to it more, is that she's always been into GTA roleplay, but there's never been GTA roleplay space for us. Like, with the different kind of things that we like and the different kind of fits that we have in our culture and just our ism. So she wanted to create that. And she's doing a fan-fucking-tastic job. Yeah, like, anytime, anything Mira touches turns to gold. So, hey, Mira, if you're listening to this, I love you. I miss you.
Yeah, we need to, Mira, you need to come on the show so we can talk about, I really want to have, like, I want to have an hour-long discussion of, like, from the idea stage to, like, in action and what the day-to-day operations of managing this server is like. So, but back to you, Kai. What are some games? Oh, damn, I just smacked my desk in my...
I heard it. Boom. I was like, ooh, that sounded like very, that shit hurt.
Very dramatic. I heard
that. It reverberated, too. That's not English. I didn't say that right. But I was like, damn, that's a beautiful musical instrument, whatever he is. It's like a... I heard a
boom. It's my mic arm. It just shook like that. That's funny.
Listen, you should record that. You should get the lens bite and just use it like a gong. It sounded like a gong. It was fire.
So, what's some games you looking forward to that's coming out this year? Like, what? Give me like your top five.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, there's a role play game called For the King, and the sequel comes out this year. So, I'm really looking forward to that. That's the closest I kind of have ever gotten to playing Dungeons and Dragons, because I don't know how the fuck to do that shit. That's the closest I've ever gotten to Dungeons and Dragons. So, I'm really looking forward to that. Everyone tells me I should play Breath of the Wild, so I guess I should get into the sequel of that too. Forspoken just came out, and Square Enix was so amazing enough to give me a key, so that's probably gonna be the first ever open world game I really try to get into, because I've never played like God of War, I've never played Horizon Zero Dawn, I've never played games like that. They're just so intimidating. But I mean, if you put a black femme from New York in there, I'm gonna have to try it. Like, excuse me, that's me. That's literally me.
Yeah.
So that's a game that has already come out, but I'm looking forward to, because I haven't touched it yet. I don't know. I'm really a variety gamer at its peak, to the point where I don't know what I like. Because, again, I'm really new at this whole gaming thing, so I'll try anything once. Unless it's horror. You gotta pay me big money to play a fucking horror game. I swear to God.
Yeah. I feel you on the horror thing too, because it's like, it's something different. Because I love horror movies. I love them. I watch them.
Oh, you're different. Nah, that's not me. Don't say you feel me when you love horror movies. You don't feel me. I'm a baby back bitch. I am a baby back bitch. You say horror, I'm already gone. Like, you have to pay me to do anything horror related.
Yeah, my comfort movies is like Evil Dead or The Conjuring. Fucking weird. And shit.
You're a weirdo.
I'm a weirdo?
I mean that disrespectfully too.
Damn.
I mean that with all the disrespect. It's just good when your heart goes boom boom. I don't.
Cinematography. I mean, it's a good movie. Like the when they redid the Evil Dead in 2013, I thought that was good. It was gory. It was nasty. It was like scary.
I mean, I wouldn't know. I haven't watched it, and I never intend to.
Yeah. Okay. 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 They got a sequel coming out this year, so hopefully somebody makes you watch both.
I hope they do well. That's none of my business. That's none of my business.
Oh man. Okay. So not to drag this out longer and keep you here for longer than what you wanted to be here. We're getting close to the end of the episode. This is where the guest gets a chance. I mean, we could do one of those 3 hour long Joe Rogan shits, but
hold on. First of all, don't say that name in front of my friends ever again.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
Fuck that man. Disrespectfully. Fuck that man.
He'd be on this podcast, like, you know, I just read an article and it was pretty interesting. They were talking about
I'd be like, where's the article from?
Yeah.
If you sew
duck bills on your back, it increases your testosterone. You'd be like, what the fuck you talking about?
Every time I see them, I'm like,
yeah.
it's the slow anger.
Yeah, it's the slow anger. And then he has two dumbass motherfuckers in there with him, like just co-signing everything he say. Like, yeah.
It's like, grow up here.
Yeah. I could never just co-sign somebody saying stupid shit. I've been in too many barbershops. For you to just be like, yeah, man, that sound about right. Black man, what is you talking about?
Like sir, do you not have your own penis? Are you sucking his? Please let me know.
Oh, yeah. But enough about Joe Rogan. Fuck that nigga. this is the time for the guests to do some positive affirmations. So this is for you to send out some positive vibes to the world and give somebody some good, positive, I guess, reinforcing language to help them get throughout the week and whenever they listen to this episode to help them, you know, with even if it is something that they could probably not potentially put on a t-shirt because that's fucked up, but you know, that kind of thing, which is just like, you know, giving them some uplifting.
Yeah.
Word. Listen, so
as someone who literally had a not so great day yesterday, and it wasn't even from anything, it was just from existing and not feeling any kind of pleasure from existing.
Yeah.
This is my affirmations for you. You are enough because existing is enough. Even when existing doesn't feel like enough, know that you are enough and you are doing great because you are doing just that. I feel like I have more to say, but like I just want to let that sit for a little bit because people really think that to be great means you have to constantly be doing great things. In reality, that's not the case. You existing is greatness because there is only one you. No one can ever recreate you. That doesn't exist. You are the one. You are the one in this lifetime and every lifetime. There is not another you. So even though that comes with its ups and downs sometimes, where you can't see the greatness that is you, just know that you existing is great. And you are enough. You always will be enough. Sometimes that's just enough. Yeah. I don't want to say anything else. I feel like anything else would just be like, you're good. You're beautiful. You're the... And like, I don't know. The day-to-day really can suck. It can really suck. Life can really just keep throwing shit at you. And it hurts. It really does. So I just want everyone to know that even if it's not great and it's not feeling great, you existing is great. And now I'm being redundant, so I'm going to shut up.
Oh, that was heartwarming and made me feel good. Kai, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you coming on here. Where can the people find you on the socials and what can people expect to see when they tune into your content?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thanks so much for having me. I had a blast. It doesn't feel like we've even been here for that long. So super appreciate you for asking me, inviting me out. You can find me at Defined by Kai everywhere. That is DefindByKy. And, you know, it's my name because one, it rhymes, and two, only I can define myself in this fucked up world. So that's on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all the shits. And what you can expect from me, I'm not sure. I'm still finding out who I am and I'm having fun with that. But you can expect gaming, cosplays, pictures, I guess. Sometimes I think I'm pretty. So, you know, you can expect a human that's existing and hopes that she's enough every day. So that's what you can expect.
Nice. And You are gorgeous. Don't let nobody tell you anything different.
I'm pretty regular, but thank you.
And if you want to tune into anything we're doing, you can catch us on Twitter, on TikTok. I'm actually going to deactivate the TikTok because I hate it. I can't do it.
TikTok is so...
It's
you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's not for everyone, but you gotta try. You gotta try it out once.
I know. So you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Ko-fi if you want to make some donations. UBG Pod. That's where you can find us. And as always, thank you so much for listening to this episode. And remember, be happy, drink some water, and keep gaming.